With the population increasingly aging, the worldwide cancer burden is growing rapidly. Recognizing the urgent need for more and stronger research on the diagnosis and treatment of geriatric cancer and survivorship care for older adults. Joining me today is Dr. June McCoy. She's an associate professor of medicine in the Division of Internal Medicine and Geriatrics and a member of the Robert H. Lurie Comprehensive Cancer Center. Her research and clinical work focuses on cancer treatment and survivorship in older adults. She's joining me today to share her insights. Dr. McCoy, I'm so glad to have you join us today. Thank you so much. Can you start off by telling us a little bit about yourself and your role in the Division of Geriatrics?
So I am also, in addition to providing clinical care, the primary educator of all trainees who rotate through the Division of General Internal Medicine and Geriatrics, but particularly in the section of geriatrics. So I serve as the program director or the fellowship program. In addition to those roles, I also serve as the director of geriatric oncology for the Cancer Center. In my role as a cancer and aging researcher, I serve on the older adult oncology panel for the National Comprehensive Cancer Network, or the NCCN. And interestingly enough, in that role, I've now been, for the last, I would say, 2 years or so, been an associate editor for the Journal of the National Comprehensive Cancer Network. And I might add, an additional role I play in the aging and cancer space is membership on the editorial board of the Journal of Geriatric Oncology. So I do wear a lot of hats.
Well, you certainly do. So comprehensive, and it's such a great topic, Dr. McCoy. It's so very much needed right now. So let's talk about some of the unique challenges that older adults with cancer face, and what are some of the most common cancers that seniors are confronted with?
You know, it's very difficult as we all get older because our bodies undergo so many different changes. And we talk a lot about the physiologic aging changes. And as my peers and colleagues out there who are listening to this podcast will know, we use the term physiologic aging changes. Basically, the normal things that happen to us as we get older, but in the older person, it's not a so-called normal change. I think the most significant things that we see is that our kidney function decreases. And with that comes a myriad of problems. But our liver blood flow also decreases. Worse so for women than for men. And in concert with the changes in the kidney and the changes in the liver, what happens is that medications that patients take just for their regular medical problems, and also medications that they will take later if they are unfortunate to be diagnosed with cancer, are metabolized either through the kidneys or through the liver. And so if the liver blood flow is decreasing, it will be very difficult to get medications processed without some side effects. And if the kidney function is not that good, and I'll take a little sidestep and say that my residents, my medical students, are alarmed when I tell them that they start having decreased kidney function in their 30s. So if the kidney function decreases and medications need to be processed through the kidneys, you can see how side effects could occur for cancer drugs that actually have their own toxicities. So these are some of the challenges we see as the body changes with aging. The population of patients that we see in geriatrics and in geriatric oncology are also more frail because of other changes. You know, they're not as strong, their muscle mass is not as good as when they were younger. And in addition, they are traveling with what we call multiple chronic comorbid illnesses. And my colleagues know the challenges that they see in their clinics every day when the patient comes in with diabetes, hypertension, and other medical problems. In the oncology clinic, it becomes a great challenge because now you're not only treating the cancer, but you have to do the treatment within the context or the environment of someone with other medical problems. The common cancers that we're seeing facing our patients, and they actually in and of themselves because of their treatment post-specific problems include breast cancer, very common in young women, but also quite common in older women, prostate cancer in our men, and for both genders, colorectal cancer and bladder cancers are challenges. And one cancer people don't really think about that much, melanoma. So these are the common cancers primarily that we see as patients age.
Well, as long as we're talking about comorbid conditions, and we're going to talk about the geriatric assessment, Dr. McCoy, but since you said that seniors are prone to comorbidity, what are some of the important considerations that you would like other providers to know about when it comes to treatment decisions for the elderly? How can you better identify which patients can tolerate intensive chemotherapy and which patients may need modified treatment regimens because of underlying conditions, cognitive impairment, any of those comorbid conditions that you're discussing?
I think I will talk a little bit generally about the multiple comorbidities and their importance in the context of cancer treatment, and then go back to answering the question, what can we do? And that question of what can we do really would take us back to looking at how do we assess our patients. So in terms of the multiple comorbidities, in general, given these problems, I find it critically important that we have coordinated care, that we communicate across all specialties. We often send our patients to see an orthopedist if the arthritis in their knees or hips is getting really quite bad and our current treatments might not be as effective. In those cases, and I'll give you that as a standing example, the orthopedist might give them an NSAID. And as my peers know, those NSAIDs or non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs carry problems. They can cause bleeding from the stomach. They can affect the kidney function. We talked earlier about kidney function decreasing with aging. They can further that decrease in kidney function. And so if we're not communicating with the orthopedist, and if we're not asking the orthopedist to send us a copy of their notes and what their treatment plans are, we won't know what's going on until we see that patient again, maybe in 3 or 4 months. By that time, problems might have arisen. So the first thing to do, given the multiple comorbidities, is to coordinate care and to make sure that we're communicating across specialties. Something that I do in my clinic, and I'm sure many of my peers out there are doing something similar, is to actually have a list of all the specialists whom my patients see at the very beginning of my clinical notes. And when I finish seeing my patients and I close my notes, I make sure to email each specialist a copy of my notes so they know what's going on. So communication and coordinating care is extremely important. We need to have our nurses, what I do in clinic is because we're so busy, have our nurses and our medical assistants also work with us and start looking at medication lists when the patients come in. If you have trainees, they can be recruited as a group to actually look at these medication lists and make recommendations. And it's part of the whole education of our trainees. Going back from comorbidities as to what we can do, well, when we're faced with all these comorbidities, we turn to something we call the geriatric assessment. And it's not just the geriatric assessment, but it's the comprehensive geriatric assessment, or the CGA. And I think it's time that we talk about that because that folds in really nicely into what we can do as physicians. The CGA is a multidisciplinary diagnostic and treatment process. And we target all domains of function. In geriatrics, we call it our gold standard for care planning. And this is because we need to have a standard to apply to people as they get older. In terms of multidisciplinary, in our clinic, we use a nurse, a social worker, and we have a relationship with a psychologist / neuropsychologist to whom we refer our patients later on. But the assessment will include looking at just a general physical examination, the usual, the heart, the lungs, and so on. And we also do a full neurological exam. In addition, we have our social worker who does a psychosocial evaluation, looking at life history, support system, substance abuse or issues, nutrition, and the risk of nutritional problems down the road. In addition, we check function. So we're looking at gait, we're looking at balance, and we do a vision and a hearing evaluation. I know that in many clinics, that's very hard, and especially in oncology clinic, oncologists have limited time. So what we have done through this older adult oncology panel, and we have folded that into our geriatric oncology program here at Northwestern, is to find ways to do the comprehensive geriatric evaluation or assessment, but truncating it so we're covering all the measures of domain of function that we talked about earlier, but we can do that in a more shorter period of time. So the CGA, in essence, allows us to get what we call a lovely 360 view of our patient and help us to formulate a coordinated, careful, and individualized plan to maximize their overall health.
It is such an important topic, Dr. McCoy, because as we said at the beginning, there's so many people aging and it's such an increasing population. You published a book chapter examining the use of alternative medicine for cancer care. Can you tell us briefly about this work and its implications for geriatric cancer care? And while you're telling us that, do you feel that there's a need for more research on the diagnosis and treatment of geriatric cancer and survivorship care for older adults?
So I wrote a book chapter or a textbook on cancer policy, pharmaceutical safety. And my chapter on use of alternative medications I felt was very important, given the numbers of aging patients and the fact that many of the patients have comorbid illnesses. Many of the drugs that we would normally give to a younger person will cause problems in that population. So if you've got a patient who is older with cancer, for instance, and they've got nausea because of chemotherapy, rather than giving them one of the usual anti-nausea medication like Zofran or Compazine, trial of alternative medications like medical marijuana, where patients are not averse to that, or the breakdown products of medical marijuana can be helpful. When you give the usual drugs, they have drug-drug interactions that can be harmful to the patients. Trial of a certain herbal medications for patients who are having side effects from chemotherapy, we find can be cost-effective and can also be very effective in treating these patients. We have tried acupuncture and what we call massage and just meditation in those patients, rather than using many of the drugs that we use, like the anti-anxiety medications, to which patients can become addicted, and also that increases the risk of patients falling or becoming confused. So we have looked at herbal drugs, which have been very important in our patient population, and we have seen studies show that the outcomes can be quite good, and the risk and side effects can be lowered.
As we wrap up, is there anything else you'd like providers to know about treating seniors who have cancer, those comorbid conditions, and research on the diagnosis and treatment of geriatric cancer and survivorship?
The Robert H. Lurie Comprehensive Cancer Center of Northwestern University is what I call mission-driven. We have a survivorship institute, and that follows individuals from adolescence through aging. And what we have found is that while treatment of our older individuals within the Survivorship Institute is challenging, we have been able to actually improve our outcomes by having individual care plans instituted for these patients. When your 98-year-old patient goes to surgery or, say, ovarian cancer, and comes back after chemotherapy and survives, I think it's a wonderful thing to see. You know, we know that survival in and of itself is not the victory, but the survival, when resumed, when it occurs and there's a good quality of life, it keeps me passionate about what I do. People say that, you know, a patient is in their 80s, they've lived a long life, and I will say back to them, you know, if they can live to 81, 82 or beyond, if they can be with their spouses, their children, their grandchildren, with a good quality of life, I think that's even better than just surviving.
So well put. Really, such a great segment, Dr. McCoy. Thank you so much for coming on and sharing your incredible expertise about this very important topic. And that concludes this episode of Better Edge, a Northwestern Medicine podcast for physicians. To refer your patient or for more information on the latest advances in medicine, please visit our website at nm.org to get connected with one of our providers. Please also remember to subscribe, rate, and review this podcast and all the other Northwestern Medicine podcasts. I'm Melanie Cole.